Before I share what God has laid on my heart, why don't we say a word of prayer? Father, wherever we are, right now as we gather, right now, just wherever we are, you are present and you are active by your Spirit. I ask that you would continue to work in our hearts and in our minds as we listen and as I speak, and that these spoken words of mine might be faithful to the written words of Holy Scripture, and that they would lead us all to the living Word, Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, this week, for me, was hijacked by some of the events that are taking place right now in the United States of America, in particular as they started in Minneapolis with the killing of the African-American man named George Floyd by police officers. And as I look, and I have friends in Minneapolis who are going through extreme circumstances right now, and as I look what's happening around the United States and around our own country itself, these events are a reminder to me of the racism that is part of our life and the discrimination that we perpetrate and we are part of. And it just looks awful as we look at that, at those events that are unfolding down there. And it just has deeply impacted my own spirit as I look at that. And I want to emphasize that, and I think this is something that is important and something that connects so deeply with Pentecost Sunday and the coming of the Holy Spirit, that as Christians, we can never accept or ignore or remain silent about any action or attitude or policy that reduces another person, that makes them less than the incredible beings they are, made in God's image. Regardless of who they are, regardless of where they're from, regardless of what their race is, what their sexual orientation is, what their gender is, what their beliefs are, and any way that we like to divide each other up and categorize ourselves. We can never condone or accept policies that treat people as less than fully human, that harm them and diminish their capacity to flourish. And certainly we must, in the strongest way possible, oppose taking other people's lives. As those who have been forgiven by God in Jesus Christ and given new life through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are called to witness to the incredible salvation we have received in Jesus Christ. We are called to be witnesses and followers of the cross, and we must fight against, first of all, the racism, the discrimination, the sin in our own hearts that cause us to reduce other people to objects in the world that exist for us. And the lack of love in our own hearts and our own lives, and also everywhere else that we encounter these things. You see, the message that I get this morning from our texts on Pentecost Sunday is that the Spirit has come to bring peace and life. So let us walk in the Spirit. If you come away from this sermon with one thing, that's what I hope you hear, that God in the Holy Spirit has come to bring peace and life. And so let us walk in the Spirit. Now, last week, we came to the part of our gospel story where Jesus ascends, and I talked about how in this moment we see revealed to us the full expression or manifestation of God's power. Ascension, I said, finishes the story of Jesus Christ, but it's just the first part of the finish. At Pentecost, we get the second part of the finish. In many ways, Pentecost is Ascension part two, because Jesus ascends and he sends then the Holy Spirit with the Father. Pentecost is the beginning, if you will, of the last chapter of the story of God, of the good news that we receive in Jesus Christ. And here with Pentecost, we have the full manifestation of the power of God, but also the person of God. See, ascension, as I was talking about last week, tells us that Jesus isn't present with us in the way that that we are present to each other. He doesn't belong to this time and space the way we do anymore. He's not absent fully, but he's not present fully either. And at Pentecost, what we celebrate is Jesus' presence in a new form. The formation of the church, the body of Christ, the family and the people of God, which is an incredible thing. I think I mentioned last time that ascension kind of marks off the time of God's absence or the abandonment of God's people. But also now what we have is Pentecost is the time of God's patience. And so we come to the story in the book of Acts of how this came to be. And in the story, we have the people of God, his disciples, gathered together, it says, in one place. And suddenly there is a sound like a violent wind. And they see a flame appear and tongues of flame descend or hover over each person. And then they all begin to speak in languages that they haven't ever learned through the course of their lives. And the people who are gathered who fear God from all over the earth can't make sense of it at all. Some of them think they might be drunk, but they're all scratching their heads saying, what is going on? And then Peter comes along and he has this incredible Pentecost sermon where he reaches back from the Old Testament and uses the prophet Joel to explain what is going on and interpret to them. And that's what I want to focus on today are several things that we learn from this chapter of the story, this Pentecost story. And in particular, I want to focus on Acts 2:17, where God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And that's exactly what Peter says is going on at Pentecost. There are several things then that I think we can learn from this story. And the first one that is, I think, especially important for us and that helps me understand the kinds of things that we're witnessing in our world around us that I mentioned earlier, particularly in the United States right now, is that we live in a spiritual world. And that means that the problems that we encounter are not just what we might call political or not just social. And they're not even just personal. They are, in a deeper sense, spiritual. I'm reminded of that Police song, and I know as soon as I talk about the group The Police, I alienate like probably most of you, so I'm sorry. Because either, like, you have to sort of be in my generation to really fully appreciate the group The Police, which had Sting as its lead singer and founder. But they have that song, We Are Spirits in a Material World. And that's true, but as long as we don't understand that in such a way that we think that somehow the material world is never without spirit. So what does it mean that we live in a spiritual world? Well, if we look at the text of scripture that we have to understand the words that are being used here. And spirit is pneuma in Greek, P-N-E-U-M-A, or ruach in Hebrew. And these words mean wind. And what we have, of course, in the story that I just recounted from the book of Acts is that there is the sound of a mighty wind that fills the whole house. And I like how Karl Barth, the theologian, describes this, where he says, this is the invasion of the Holy Spirit into our time. The coming of the Holy Spirit, where God, by the Holy Spirit, invades our time in this sound of a violent wind. And the other thing I want, and notice that in John's account of the giving of the Spirit, which is very different, it would be very fascinating to talk about these two things together, but we don't have time to do that. But Jesus breathes on his disciples, and they receive the Holy Spirit. And so I want to emphasize that spirit is something that is not visible, but is a force that's at work around us, like breath, like wind. But in particular, it is personal. It's involved with person. And so the first thing I think we have to acknowledge at Pentecost is the reality of the spiritual world. We live in a world of spirit. and there are spirits, and we ourselves are spiritual beings, and everything that we do is done by and done with one kind of spirit or another. And of course, that means that there are good spirits and there are bad spirits. And I want to avoid thinking of this in sort of magical terms or fantastic terms, because I don't see this. I don't think we have a justification for seeing this in terms of sort of magic and things like that. Instead, when we talk about spirit, we are talking about these unseen powers that influence and control our thoughts and our attitudes and our behaviors, and especially in relation to other people. Because spirit is person, and it is interpersonal. It has to do with that dimension of our living. It has to do with how we think and act and believe. And so, we are spiritual. Everything that we do is done with one kind of spirit or another. And what is important is that spirit isn't visible, just like wind and breath isn't visible, but it has effects, and that's how we see what a spirit is. I'm always reminded of Jesus' comment in Matthew 17, verses 15 to 20, when he talks about good trees and bad trees, and he says a good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. So you recognize, he says, those who prophesy by spirits that are other than the Holy Spirit, by what happens when they prophesy, by the quality of their lives. A good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. So spirituality, the spirit, isn't tangible exactly, but it's very real. Spirit is always, notice also this, it's always social and never private, even though it's always personal. And so the first thing I think that we have to notice on Pentecost is that we live in a spiritual world. And as Christians, what that means is that we understand the world spiritually. We don't just simply understand it in terms of our biology or even our sociology. We understand it in terms of spirit. And so the next thing I want to sort of highlight is that the Holy Spirit comes and brings sort of three things. Three words I want to leave with you: peace, power, and love. Those things are the three things I think we're supposed to associate with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of other things that we might say, but these are the three things I want to emphasize this morning. Notice that when Jesus in John 20 gives the Spirit, it's deeply connected to peace. And in John's Gospel, that is what the Spirit is all about, is peace and bringing peace. And so, as we look at the first word, peace, notice that the word peace is also in Hebrew shalom. It is that sense of flourishing, and I've talked about it before here, and if you're joining us, I've mentioned shalom and preached about shalom quite a bit. But the Spirit brings that context in which true life can happen and flourish. And it's not just simply a freedom from anxiety. It's not sort of like being tranquil. That's not what Jesus is wishing on his disciples. What he wishes is the context in which one can be free from anxiety. And that is the context in which things are as they should be, where things are in right relationship with God and with each other and with ourselves. In other words, that the spiritual world is filled with grace and peace. And notice something else as it says, as Peter talks about Joel's prophecy from the Old Testament. And it says, in those last days, I will pour out my spirit on everyone, and everyone will benefit from this. Everyone will have this connection to God, and everyone will prophesy. All people. And this peace that is brought by the Spirit is for everyone. It is radically inclusive. It is breaking down all of the barriers that we put up. It means that two things, at least. First of all, anyone can have the Holy Spirit present and powerful in their lives. And secondly, that none of us can be the gatekeepers of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is poured out on all people. And the second word that I mentioned is power. Again, please think about last week when we talked about the kind of power that God manifests in Jesus through the Holy Spirit, that this is not about dominance. There are three things that this power is about as we see it in our text today. First and foremost, it is about new life. The Holy Spirit brings new life. And one of the ways that we tell where the spirits are that are in our lives are what kinds of fruit do they bear? Anxiety? Fear? Anger? Frustration? Those things are not from the Spirit that brings life. The Spirit brings new life, brings healing, brings forgiveness, brings renewal, but also freedom from the powers that bind us. The power that we receive from Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit is power to be free, power to live in love, freedom from the powers that enslave us, the power of sin, the dark powers in the world that want us to discriminate, that want us to hurt, to be angry, etc. And also the final thing under the power here that I want to mention is that the other thing is we are then empowered in our freedom and in our new life to be testaments to God's goodness in the world, to be witnesses. And we are sent, therefore, out to be present, to be the activity of Christ in the world. And finally, that activity is first and foremost to reveal and to embody and demonstrate that God is love. You see, the Holy Spirit brings us the power to love, to be whole, to have that shalom and share it with others, and to have life truly, and to bring life to others. So as I think about this in conclusion, I want to bring us back to where we started, and that is that the Spirit has come to bring peace and to bring life. And that means we should walk in the Spirit, so let us do that. That we must therefore oppose all those spirits that are not from God, that do not bring life, that bring oppression and enslavement, and that cannot testify to the goodness of God in the world. You see, and this is also something that we cannot do on our own. We must do this together. Because as soon as we individually are called by God in Jesus Christ through the Spirit, we are then brought into the fellowship of the Spirit, and we must look at what the Spirit is of our community. What fruits do we show forth? Anger? Bitterness? Strife? Those are not from the Spirit of God. This is something that we do together, and the Spirit brings for the common good. So we are here to be witnesses to God's grace in the world. So I leave us with a question. Does our spirit, does mine, but does us as a community of believers at St. Paul manifest the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Does our spirit manifest and show forth the Holy Spirit? What spirit are we showing forth in our words, in our attitudes, in our actions? Let's open ourselves to the Holy Spirit and let us walk and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to affirm your faith with me, please, in the words of the vine and branches. And so if you want, please stand wherever you are. And we will affirm our faith this way. So let us say this together. We believe in God, the root of all living, creator of all things. We live in Christ Jesus, God's Son, who loved all people and who makes us one in his love. He suffered and died and was raised to new life. In his death and resurrection, we are also raised to new life. Christ is our vine, and we are his branches. And without him, we cannot live. We live by the Holy Spirit,
flowing through us so that we may bear fruit for God, the fruit of love. In the Holy Spirit, we are one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. We trust in the one holy church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the mystery of the resurrection,
and the grace of eternal life. Amen.